The uncertainty is where creativity lives and where the endless possibilities exist. So if we're not willing to step into this unknown world, then we're going to be in the same place forever.
I'll have what she's having.
Welcome to another edition of
Chitone's Confidence Podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is the She Talks Confidence Podcast. This is Tony, your host, as usual. And again, a very powerful, experienced, knowledgeable, in-depth confidence coach. We have, and I'm going to love to say the name. I might just jack this thing up, but it's Macarena Real de Azua. Did I say it right?
You did pretty well.
I'm going to say Maca because, of course, I absolutely destroyed your name. And you were just being nice. I know that. So Maca is a coach. She is a keynote speaker. We're going to talk today about using adversity as an opportunity for growth. You have one of the best lines in your bio, just a real pull quote. It's your journey has taken you from the United Nations to the depths of the Congo, raising two kids solo in New York City, to competing in grueling long-distance triathlons, and then going back and earning your bachelor's degree at the age of 45. How's that for a bio? Good God. I'm assuming that whatever your experiences were during all of those things that I just went over, I'm assuming that led you to what you're doing now, and then how are you using those experiences to help your clients get over their obstacles and use adversity as their opportunity for growth?
The bottom line is, since our lives are just seen by our own lens and not the reality of what life is, then we all see and perceive adversity as something different. So that's the first thing. We all have those adversities or those problems that sometimes they're little, sometimes they're big, depending on how we see them. So that's how all this started. I came to New York City with my first husband, and I think it was 1998, and I started working at the UN so he could actually work in the US. And so we came together, we did that, and then we got separated, he left, okay. And then I stayed at the UN for a long time. In between all this, I went with my second husband, who was then my boyfriend. We went to the Congo, deployed on a peacekeeping mission for the United Nations. And we were there for a few years, which was the most painful and enlightening experience, I think, of my life, one of them. Because, first of all, the cultural differences are ginormous. The way you live as an expat is different than when you live as an immigrant.
I bet.
And then we came back to New York City and I had two children. And after a few years, my second husband left. He was deployed to South Sudan. And he apparently met someone younger, not born in 1973, but born in 1983.
A different decade. Yes.
Correct. A newer model. At that time, that's when my life started pivoting into a place where it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun to write, oh, I raised my kids alone. No, I was actually doing it. And my kids were 4 and 6 years old at the time. I don't have family here. And New York is harsh. The school's public system is difficult. It's difficult to navigate from parking to the subway and the stroller to everything is difficult or hard. So during those years, it was really a point where I did not enjoy my life. I was on autopilot and all I did was go to work, come home, take care of the kids, train for triathlon to keep my sanity. And then at one point I thought to myself, I need to change the way I see my life.
Was there like the straw that broke the camel's back or some event or some situation where you finally said, that's it? Or was it like a slow burn till it finally wore you down?
It was both. It was kind of slowly. I saw myself becoming this very unhappy person or very resentful, drinking a lot on the weekends. at one point I said, I can't, this is just too much. And I reached out to the father of my kids and I said, what if you come for a few weeks and take the kids? I gave him a few options and he said, I can't do any of those options. And I was like, all right. But you know, when you're like, you're on your own, but you think, but maybe if I ask nicer, maybe if I say,
yeah, pretty please. I've been there. So you finally decided, I got to do something with that. What was your first step out of that?
After I got out of bed after 2 weeks.
You mean? Yes. Not the literal step out of bed with the dry tears, no more tear duct, no more. No, nothing left, right?
Like looking like a...
Yeah. What did you decide you needed to do first?
One thing that is important, I think, is the awareness of knowing that you have an amazing life. So the part was like, I live in New York City, which is a great life. I live 6 blocks away from Central Park. I run there every day. I'm healthy. My kids are amazing. Those things made me think they deserve better. They deserve me to step up and be the mom that they deserve.
So you did a gratitude exercise, basically. You really just sat down and said, what am I grateful for? And then and that's a great way to reframe things.
I think that was the awareness piece. Mm-hmm. And then from there, what I did was I got this book. Do you know Byron Katie, Loving What Is?
Yes.
So I got that book, which I had read in the past, and I was like, what is this? Yeah, when something doesn't resonate, because it wasn't the time. Okay, this was the time. And then I actually started doing affirmations. And every day I wrote, I love being with my kids. Every day for a very long time, like pages and pages, like a lunatic. And slowly that process, that like first step, I see it as almost like it's like a wheel with three threads that you can pull from. And I think action is one, another one is thoughts, and another one is emotions. So I started with the actions of writing this down. And then that triggered that wheel of change. Mm-hmm. And from there, I started feeling better. And every day, obviously, there's ups and downs. But from there, I also realized that it was all about me doing the work. It had nothing to do with my environment. It had nothing to do with anything that anyone did to me. It had nothing to do with my circumstances, but about how I saw my life. So then a year later, actually, this was 2016. In 2017, I was talking to a friend who lived in Miami. And I remember telling her, what's amazing is that nothing has changed in my life. So I live in the same apartment. I have the same bicycle. I have the same kids. I have the same salary. I have the same job. Everything is exactly the same, but my life is completely fulfilled. I feel complete. So that goes to show you that is all about how we see our life and how our perspective on the circumstances. So once we're able to change that. And then from there, I was so motivated and so excited. And then at one point, I said, I'm going to go to college. And I remember getting up with my daughter, and I would study for my classes, and she would do her homework. And we experienced that together, which was, to me, it was a gift. So I finished that. I started doing long distance triathlons, half Ironman. So I also was training for that. That path, I started by other book from Jack Canfield, The Success Principles. So after that conversation with my friend, I said, I'm going to read this book and follow every step of this book. Whatever this book says, I'm going to do. And that's how I achieve all those goals, all of them.
Wow. That's great. Obstacles came up because they always do, and you can't get rid of them. So anytime adversity or obstacles came up at that time, when you were fueled with that introspection and you understood yourself a lot better, how did you handle it versus how you used to handle obstacles and adversity?
Honestly, by not getting mad, practicing not getting angry anymore. And I remember one time I told my kids, my New Year's resolution is to not yell at you. So at that time, that's how I started, by saying, you know what, there's nothing for me to be mad about. There's nothing for me to be angry about. When I get home, my kids don't want to see me mad because whatever. They don't care. My kids want to be with me. So that was the first practice. And I realized also at the time when I started studying coaching and personal development, and getting into the world of the subconscious mind and limiting beliefs and all of these things that now we speak about, I didn't realize that what I was told, that you got this anger issues from your dad, because that's genetics. That's and then I was like, oh, wait, being angry is not really genetics. It's not like your eye color. You can change it. It's behavioral that you can actually take steps to make that decision to change your behavior. And then afterwards, after all that data enlightenment, let's say, that led me to believe and to live in a way where every obstacle is actually a springboard. For example, when I got dumped by my second husband, then that could have been like a complete breakdown. But instead, that was actually something that was a springboard for me to be, to say, okay, now that I'm going to take this giant step into the future and leap into this vision that I have for my family. The same thing has happened when I started my business. So all these different aspects I see as, okay, so what am I getting from this? What is not only the lesson, but how I'm going to use this as something that is going to catapult me to the vision that I have for my business?
Do you think that obstacles or adversity is merely the universe stopping you and giving you a clue as to what the next step is going to be?
I'm going to say maybe that maybe doesn't tell you what the next step is going to be, but it tells you it's not here.
Exactly. The clue is, yeah, you might need to pivot right now. When you learn something and then you grow, and when you grow into a new space, then there's a lot of new space you have to learn about, and you didn't realize that there was this other thing in that space that you have to learn or you have to understand. And so when you do grow into that space and you get past one obstacle, you get into a situation where you have to do more learning sometimes. Absolutely. And I think that, and that could be seen as another obstacle, but it's not. It's really an opportunity. Instead of just allowing that subconscious impulse to guide your behavior and guide your reaction to things in terms of getting angry when something like flips your switch, it's a matter of stopping it up here in that prefrontal area where hopefully it's a little more developed and you can see it for what it is and say, all right, is this even worth it? And you talking to your clients, that's a big thing. They don't like where they're at is because of how they've been reacting to things.
And awareness. You just don't know what you don't know. And we grew up, most of us, our age, we grew up in a way where our parents, they were not worried about our self-esteem or any of that stuff.
Yeah, this is relatively new for the generations,
So it's up to us to make that change. And what I tell my clients usually is, you are 10 steps ahead because you have the awareness that this is not what you want. Because if you're not there, I can't help you. I could, but I'm not going to convince you of anything because I'm not interested in that. Yourself have to come to some sort of conclusion where you say, okay, this is not what I want. So to be aware of what you don't want, and then we can make the changes. At the same time, I think going back to what you were saying in the learning space when you are doing something new, uncertainty is where creativity lives and where the endless possibilities exist. So if we're not willing to step into this unknown world, then we're going to be in the same place forever.
So if a client came to you and they started talking about this block or this obstacle or this adversity thing that they're facing like right now, what's the first thing that you would go through in terms of learning or instructions or an exercise?
So let's say if this situation you're in were to last forever, and you still want to have a fulfilling life, what are the qualities that you already have within you that you need to develop to navigate this problem or this issue that you're going through? And it's usually strength, patience, compassion, empathy, resilience, any of those qualities that we already have within us. And it's usually towards ourselves. So for instance, I ended a very toxic relationship about over a year ago. And I remember at that time going through this exercise with myself. And I remember thinking, okay, first one, forgiveness. Second one, compassion, that I'm going to have good days and bad days. Where you put your attention, you put your energy, So once I put the attention in that specific aspect of myself, of encouraging that to mm-hmm. come up, build that quality, then my energy is going to go there. And then I can work on different things, but not like sobbing and being mortified because I'm an idiot. No, actually, so concentrate on that. And then we can work on the rest of the right. steps to actually see that. Because at the end of the day, once you learn that quality right. and once you develop it, then when you get to the other side, you mm-hmm. will use that quality for others.
The last step in the whole paradigm is you being altruistic and you helping other people from what you know. And you don't have to turn into a coach like us. It's just a matter of you impacting the people around you. You've got to start with yourself, where you're at, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and be honest with yourself with that. And then, like you said, decide what it is you need in moving forward in fulfilling your vision in moving forward and taking the steps out. I just love that. So thanks, Maka. That was awesome. And can you tell us where
yes.
someone can get a hold of you for, I'm assuming you do coaching probably like online.
So I'm on Instagram. I have a bilingual account. And that is IamReal73.
If you have any questions or concerns for me, you always know where to go to hold me. It's at TonyDufresne.com or TheConfidenceDoc.com. I have a new ebook that I'm going to be posting up there for the low price of less than a grande, a pumpkin spice a latte, and a cake pop. So if you want to save yourself some empty calories and learn something, then you know I have that for you. Anything else, how to get a hold of me, Tony@TheConfidenceDoc.com. Thanks again to Maka, and I will talk to you next week.